Well, welcome once again. Thank you for joining us this morning. This morning we are in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Thank you for turning there. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. If you do need a Bible, we have some available to borrow at the entrance. Please go ahead and grab one if you don't have a Bible. If you do, please look on with me in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. We appreciate you joining us this morning, and we trust that the Word of God will be an encouragement and a help to you this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. This morning we'll be looking at verses 32 to 34. The theme of our year this year is "The Just Shall Live by Faith." We've been enjoying studying through Hebrews 11, and now we've come to verses 32 to 34. Let's read these verses, and then we'll commit this time to God in prayer. Verse 32. "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless this time in His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the Word of God. And Lord, we thank You for the examples of those who have lived before us, those who have not only trusted in Thee as their Saviour, but Lord, those who have chosen to live by faith, that have chosen to depend on You, Lord, in many and impossible circumstances. And Lord, You showed Yourself strong and mighty in many wonderful ways. Lord, thank You for laying out their lives for us in the Word of God, so that we may be encouraged, and most of all, that we may be challenged, Father, and even rebuked if need be, to look to You and to depend on You in a greater way than ever before. Lord, help us, we pray, to live by faith, and teach us, Lord, through Your holy Word, what You desire for us, and what You have for us in the Christian life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As many of you know, Adoniram Judson was the famous missionary who went to Burma to preach the gospel. And if you know anything about his life story, there came a time where he found himself in prison. He was chained up. It was dark. It was certainly a place where he did not want to be. He was lying in that foul jail with 32 pounds of chains around his ankles. His feet were bound to a bamboo pole. One of his fellow prisoners sneered at him, apparently, at one time, and he wanted to mock Judson, this missionary, and he said to Adoniram Judson, he said, "What about the prospect of the conversion of the heathen?" Basically, he was saying to Judson, "How is God going to save people now? Look, his only missionary in the land is chained up in a prison." And Adoniram Judson said this back to this man. He said, "The prospects are just as bright as the promises of God." And that's what faith is, isn't it, church family? And that's what we've been looking at this year. When you and I put our faith, our trust, our confidence, our dependence on God alone, we can experience victory in our lives, no matter what circumstance we're in, and we can also experience victory over those trials and see God do the miraculous. As we come to verse number 32, Paul now asks the question, notice with me, "And what shall I more say?" Paul is saying in verse 32, he says, look, I could go on and on and on. After all these examples we've looked at, after we looked at Abel and we've looked at Abraham, we've looked at Sarah, we've looked at Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses, we've looked at Joshua, we've looked at the nation of Israel and their faith, we've looked at Rahab, and now we come to verse 32. And the Apostle Paul says, what shall I more say? He says, I don't have time to say more, but I can. I don't have time to tell you more about the lives of those who have lived by faith, but he does give us a little bit more examples that we'll look at this morning. But I believe the Apostle Paul is saying to us this morning, he's saying, look, we already should have enough to know by now, by September 2016, after starting in Hebrews 11 in the month of January, as God's people, we ought to know by now how we can live by faith. Amen. What shall I more say? Is there anything else that God needs to say? How many more examples do we need to see before we understand, yes, you and I can live by faith? We can live a life of faith in 2016. But just in case some of us haven't gotten the point, the Apostle Paul goes on. Amen. He goes on and he tells us about the faith of many others. And that's the title of the message this morning, The Faith of Many Others. And as we close this chapter off, we see a few other names that teach us something special this morning. Notice there in verse number 32, the Bible tells us about a number of people that lived by faith after the book of Joshua. Here we see the name Gideon, Barak and Samson and Jephthah. Then we see David, and then we see Samuel and of the prophets. Now what's interesting is that we see three different groups here in verse number 32. Now where does the name Gideon appear in the Bible? Who can remember? In the book of Judges, that's right. Gideon was a judge, wasn't he? And so was, and Barak appears in that book also, and Samson and Jephthah, as you know. So these appear in the book of Judges, and they represent the judges. Those are ones that God raised up during this time of judgment in the life of the nation of Israel to serve him, and these were men of faith in their day. Now, how about David? David, what was he? What did he become over the nation of Israel? He became a king. He wasn't a judge. He was a king. There we see David representing the kings. And then we see Samuel, who was one of the prophets. It's interesting when you look at verses like this in detail. So we see the judges represented by four of these men. Then we see David representing the kings. And then we see Samuel and the other prophets. So here we have the judges, the kings, the prophets. I know I'm being repetitive, but what is the Apostle Paul's point? He's saying, what shall I more say? Do you need more examples? Well, let me give you more. You know, faith didn't stop with Joshua. Faith didn't stop with Rahab. Living by faith didn't stop at all. In fact, there were many others into the future, from the judges to the kings to the prophets and so on, that lived by faith. What is Paul saying this morning? Well, first of all, this morning we see that we have a faith that is for all. Christian, you and I cannot possibly say to God today that we cannot live by faith. Why? Because everyone can live by faith. You might be saying this morning, well, Pastor, there's something I know that God wants me to do, but I just can't think how I can do that. Now, friends, we all have times like that. God challenges us, God stretches us, and we often come to a roadblock in our faith where we are just not willing to do what God wants us to do because we can't see how that could possibly happen. Well, you know, circumstances are not the roadblock of faith. It is our attitude towards God. It is our belief in God that is the problem. Now, let me encourage you as we look at these names, first of all, in verse 32, notice that these men, these four judges, for example, or even David and Samuel, they were not born into ideal circumstances. None of them lived in a perfect time where faith could grow and we could say, well, I'm not like them. I can't believe in God the same way they could. That's not true at all. Think about Gideon for a moment. Gideon lived during a time of what? A time of judgment. The nation of Israel had fallen into idolatry. They were worshipping the pagan false gods of the heathen nations around them. And God was judging his own people. And there was Gideon, a man of faith. There was Gideon who believed in God and whom God wanted to use. And the first moment that Gideon spoke up for God, What did his own people want to do for him? They wanted to kill him, literally. They said, let's kill Gideon before the Midianites find out what happened to the statue that was destroyed. The idol that, well, friends, that's not an ideal circumstance. That's probably a time that you and I will never experience, a time of judgment like that. And yet, God used Gideon. And he's mentioned here in verse 32. Why? Because Gideon's faith is the same faith we can have today. Do you remember how the Midianites, the book of Judges, tell us? How many were there? Well, remember the description, that they were more than grasshoppers in multitude. And then how many in the end did God say to Gideon, I have for you in the army against the Midianites? How many? 300 only. Now we will, if we have time this year, we'll look at the account of Gideon. But you see, Gideon, he certainly wasn't living in ideal circumstances for faith in God. And yet God tells us about Gideon's faith. What about Samson? Think about Samson for a moment. A complete contrast. Samson was a man who had everything going for him as far as God's plan and will for his life and God's enabling power, and yet Samson made a mess of his life. And yet notice in verse 32, Samson is recorded in Hebrews chapter 11. What does the Bible say in verse 39? And these all having obtained a good report through faith. That means when Samson stepped into eternity, he received a good report. That's unbelievable. How does that work? Samson of all people. Well, Samson's example is very simple. A man who made a mess of his life, who did not live by faith except certain times, and then in the end, he ended his life by faith. So you might be here this morning, you might say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done in the past. I've wrecked my life. I've made tragic choices. I'm living with the consequences. I can't live by faith. That door is closed. Well, that's not true at all. You can. Friend, you can start living by faith today. You can start claiming the promises of God for your own today. Yes, we can live by faith. What about David? David had many brothers. Where was David in the list of those brothers? He was right down the bottom. He was the youngest brother. And you know, I dare say to David's brothers, David was just one of those strange kids. You know, he was just one of those strange boys that obeyed his dad. And he was just one of those weirdos that talked to God. And he sang songs to God. Amen. And he knew God and he loved God. And he was mocked by his own brothers and put down. No, David didn't grow up in ideal circumstances either. David didn't have everything going for him either. Yet the Bible tells us he was a man of faith. He was a man that God chose, a man after God's own heart. What about Samuel? You know, I think of Samuel's dad, who married two wives. What a difficult situation. Not only that, but those two wives, well, we know at least one of them hated the other and mocked her. And his home life was a mess. And yet the Bible tells us that God had a special plan for Samuel. You know, he didn't have an ideal family life either. So what are we learning this morning, first of all? Friends, what we're learning is we have a faith for everyone. Why? Because as we put our faith in God, not in our faith, faith is not faith in our faith, faith is faith in God. When we put our faith in God, we can all see God do the impossible in our lives. Amen? We can all see the promises of God fulfilled in our lives. If we have excuses, friends, those excuses are no excuses. As we see in verse 32, we have a faith for all. That's why the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, look, I could go on and on and on. But the question is this morning, would we be found if this chapter continued in Hebrews chapter 11? If the Apostle Paul did go on, and God gave him some prophetic insight into the future, could you be named in Hebrews 11? Friend, have you made some decisions to live by faith this year? I trust you have. I know for a certainty that God has been working in your life as he has in mine and my family's. But have you been trusting in him? Have you come up against difficult and maybe impossible situations that you've not faced before, and are you dealing with that situation in a way that you've never dealt with it before? By faith, by believing God, by claiming the promises of His Word. Friends, we have a faith for all, amen? That's what we learn first of all in the Word of God. And the only requirement, the only ideal circumstance, the only guideline for faith, for any of us to live by faith, is that we must be part of the just. The just shall live by faith. If we are not part of the just, then we cannot possibly live by faith. As you know, the word just comes from the word justified. To be justified means to be made right before God. Means to be made righteous. It's not something we can do for our own selves. It is only the miracle that God can do through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning, have you been justified? You see, we have a faith for all. Everyone can be part of the just. But have you been saved? Have you, in a point in your life, repented of your sins and personally received Jesus Christ as your Savior? See, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned. That's all of us, my friends. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because we've come short, because we've fallen short of His perfect standard, there is no way that we can get into the presence of God. There's no way we can enter into His presence and hope for a home in eternity by trying to live up to God's perfect standard. Why? Because we're all sinners. We're all sinners. We've all missed the mark. To say that we can get to heaven is just like saying you and I can jump from here to the hall across the road. We could try. We could do our best effort. We could think in our mind and in our deluded understanding that we might make it, but I guarantee you we'll fall short. We won't make it. That's what has happened as the result of sin. We've come short of God's glory, His holy standard. Therefore, He must judge sin. Friends, sin is sin because it is against God. We have offended God. We have all fallen short of His glory. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That is the penalty for sin. We all deserve God's judgment. Why? Because He is holy. And we have broken His holy laws. Friends, we are all sinners. We all deserve the judgment of God. There is a place reserved of God for those who are judged for their sins. And the Bible says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. Friend, if you don't think you deserve to go there, then you don't know what God has said in His Word. The book of the Revelation tells us about the future. We can't ignore what God has told us. His promises are true. Judgment is coming. But thank God, we have the wonderful promise of God's forgiveness. The Bible says, not only is judgment due for all, salvation is available for all through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's law demands justice, but God's love has provided forgiveness. On the cross, the Bible tells us the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, shed His holy blood to pay for your sins and mine. I recently had a young man tell me that, you know, I think I ought to pay for my sins because I'm the one that has sinned. And that's true. We do deserve it. But we need to understand that God's justice was satisfied by the holy, sinless, shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. He became the perfect sacrifice for us. He is the sin bearer for all mankind. Friends, He paid for my sins. He paid for your sins in full. And then on the third day, He rose again from the dead so that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friends, Christ paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. Let me ask you this morning, when was the time that He washed you white as snow? Friends, there's only one time in your life that Jesus saves you from sin. If you're asking Him to save you every day, you've never trusted Him once and for all. That was my problem. When I first came to a church like this, I thought I needed to pray every day to ask the Lord to take me to heaven. I did not have faith to believe that because He paid once and for all. I could be forgiven once and for all. I remember on the 7th of May 2005, when I finally understood that yes, I deserved hell, and I was one breath away from it. I was also one breath away from being forgiven once and for all, forever. And that night I called out to the Lord Jesus Christ. I repented of my sins and I asked Him to save me once and for all. That was the night I was washed whiter than snow. Friend, are you trying to live by faith, but you're finding it impossible because you've never been justified? You've never been forgiven. Let me ask you this morning, if that's you, would you make a decision today? Would you decide to call out to Him by faith for salvation, full and free? Friend, judgment is coming. Don't wait too long. Maybe you've been in this church for a while and you've heard the message time and time again. Friend, the only thing stopping you is you. Your willingness to believe the Word of God. Your willingness to trust in Christ alone to save you once and for all. Let me encourage you to claim the promise of salvation by faith today. Thank God that He still saves. Amen. And if you are a Christian here this morning, let me encourage you. The just shall live by faith. The same way we were saved by depending on God alone to do the impossible is the same way God expects us to live every day. Amen? Amen. With everything else, the simplicity of trusting in Christ for salvation is carried over to everything else in our lives. So there is no way we can say to God, I can't do this. Lord, I can't believe this promise that You've given to me. Lord, I can't claim this truth for my life. When if we've trusted in Christ, we believe and understand that we can trust in Him for everything else. You see, our faith is a faith for all. Doesn't matter who you are, whether you're a young Christian, whether you're an old Christian. You know, we can come up with all sorts of excuses, can't we? Maybe as a young person, you might say, well, Pastor, I've just been saved. I've just trusted Christ as Savior. Then you can live by faith. Maybe you've been a Christian for a while. Maybe you've gone off track. But friend, you can live by faith and come back to God and trust in Him once again. Friends, faith is not just for the pastor. If the pastor is the only one with a measure of faith, then let me assure you, my faith is not great. Let me assure you, we all have the same struggles. If the pastor is the only one with faith in a church, we're in big trouble. We're in big trouble, I assure you that. We need to live by faith together. That's why it's a we in this verse of ours for the year. The just, we all together shall live by faith. Friend, isn't it time in this month of September, as we approach October, as we approach the end of the year, isn't it time to throw out those excuses out the door? Amen. Isn't it time to say, Lord, forgive me for my unbelief? Lord, those excuses need to go. It's time to live by faith. A faith for all is what we see in here in Hebrews chapter 11. I trust that's an encouragement to you. A faith for all. Notice secondly, the Apostle Paul shows us not only a faith for all, including you and I, but a faith through which all things are possible. A faith through which all things are possible. From verses 33 to 35, we see the accomplishments of faith. We see a list of accomplishments that those who have in the past gone through, that you and I can also claim for ourselves the accomplishments of faith. Well, what are these accomplishments? Well, notice first of all in verse 33, we can live in victory. Notice these victorious words in verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises. Friends, this is a description of the victorious Christian life. We can have victory how? Notice verse 33. Through faith. We can have victory in our lives. Notice what happened in these lives. They subdued kingdoms through faith. Now, obviously, the Bible this morning is talking about national affairs. It's talking about other kingdoms and nations. We could think back again to the example of Gideon. Over six different nations invaded the land of the nation of Israel. Six different nations during the book of Judges oppressed God's people, and God raised up judges one after another. And the Bible tells us that these ones who lived by faith subdued kingdoms. They experienced victory in their lives through faith. Now, how could it be possible that only 300 men, including Gideon of old, could come up against an army that was so huge, great in numbers, that it was just like looking at a field full of grasshoppers that couldn't be numbered? That's how they appeared as the Israelites looked down into the valley where the Midianites were. Can you imagine you and I standing there, the 300 of us, looking down? How would you and I have felt? We would have felt, well, it's time to run away. It's time to find a new land. Amen? Maybe like Jonah of old, hop on a boat and get to Europe and get out of here. Well, what does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us very clearly that these ones, through faith, subdued kingdoms because they put their trust in God. God did the impossible. And though they only had torches and horns to blow on with no weapons at all, God gained the victory, but through faith they experienced that victory in their lives. Friends, you and I can have victory in our Christian life, but more specifically, God wants us to subdue kingdoms. Friends, we can subdue kingdoms today. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter number 6. I hope you're still with me this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. By faith, we can subdue kingdoms. Ephesians chapter number 6. Thank you for turning there. Notice verses 12 and 13. Ephesians chapter 6. Why don't we read these verses together? Ephesians 6 verses 12 and 13. On to 1, 2. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You see, friends, we are not fighting against a literal kingdom in our lives today. No, we are fighting against a kingdom of darkness, against principalities and powers, verse number 12 tells us. Not a blood and flesh kingdom, but a spiritually evil kingdom. The kingdom of the devil. And would you agree that his kingdom is on an increase today? Not a decrease. Friends, we are not in the midst of a last days revival. No, the devil is increasing his kingdom in this world. And you might feel today that the oppression of sin and of worldliness into your home and into your surrounding, into your workplace is almost overwhelming. Sometimes we feel that we have no hope. All we can do is hold out for the rapture and do the best that we can. Well, is that what the Bible tells us? The Bible does tell us that there is an evil kingdom on the increase. We live in that evil day. But the Bible also tells us that if we put on the whole armour of God, we're not just going to stand, but we'll be able to withstand the evil kingdom of Satan. We'll be able to withstand the wickedness of the world. We'll be able to stand in victory and see great victories in our lives by faith if we claim the promises of God. Now, verse 16, what does the Bible tell us there in Ephesians 6? How can you and I quench the fiery darts of the devil? By holding up the shield of faith. If you and I put our faith in God, in a time of temptation, and we say no to sin and yes to God, friends, we can quench, extinguish the fiery darts of the devil. Amen? That's what the Bible tells us. You and I can have victory against sin in our personal lives. You and I can raise up godly children for the glory of God if we, by faith, apply the Word of God to our lives. You see, it's a life of faith through which we can have victory. If you're still in the book of Ephesians, look at the book of Colossians for a moment. Colossians chapter 2, Philippians, Colossians. Notice Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Why is it that you and I are able to have victory against the kingdom of darkness in this world? Notice what Christ did on the cross in verse 14. The Bible says Christ, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Amen. Verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. My friends, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross defeated the power of sin and death and hell once and for all. You see, it is Jesus Christ who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It is Jesus Christ who is in control of all things. Yes, the devil may seem like he's on the increase. Yes, the kingdom of darkness may seem like it is encroaching in every area of life today. But let me assure you, my friends, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The Bible tells us that if you are a born-again Christian, you are on the winning side. Amen. We are more than victors. We are more than conquerors. We can experience victory in the Christian life. In fact, let me assure you this, and this is a statement of faith, not observation. If you look at the world today, there was a time that pornography was constricted to the seediest, filthiest places of this town. Now it's everywhere. Now it's a click away in your own home. Yes, the kingdom of darkness is growing, but it is the devil that is on the retreat. It is the devil that is on the losing side. He's just scrabbling for what he can get. But he's already a defeated foe, my friend. If you are a Christian, you already have victory in Jesus Christ. And now it's time to experience that victory. How? By living by faith. Amen? You can cast down imaginations with the Word of God. How? Well, you can be mighty through God, the Bible tells us. Does it not? We already saw on Father's Day, we can cast down imaginations, wicked thoughts. And yes, some of those thoughts the devil puts in there. And we wonder, where did that come from? We can cast those wicked thoughts down, young men and men. Those perverse, lustful thoughts. How? With the Word of God. Amen. As we quote the Word of God, as we put the Word of God into our hearts, David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." And you can say the rest, "that I might not sin against thee." And why do you and I so often say, "Look, I can't do this. My sin problems are too great. You know, there's a sin in my life that's just going to stay there for the rest of my life. There's nothing." That's not true. Friend, that is a lack of faith. Faith in the power of the Word of God. Faith in the victory that Christ has already won. Can you see this morning very quickly how we can subdue kingdoms? How we can live in the light? How we can walk in the light. And I dare say, how we can be a witness to someone else and tell them about Jesus Christ and help them to see Christ and to ask the Lord to save them and to see them come from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Yes, we can subdue kingdoms as we live a holy life, as we witness for Christ. And what about one day, the wonderful song of the righteous in the book of the Revelation? As the Bible tells us that one day you and I as Christians in heaven will be singing this, that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Friend, Christ has kingdoms for us to subdue by faith. Let me encourage you this morning. You can experience victory. Notice back in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We could spend a lot more time on these verses. Notice verse number 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. There's the victory. Notice the next. Wrought righteousness. Wrought righteousness. That means to perform acts of righteousness. Now, what is an act of righteousness? Well, these are acts that we have seen all year in Hebrews chapter 11. Acts that were not done in the strength of a man or for the glory of man. But an act of righteousness is an act done in God's name, by faith, for His glory. In God's name, done by faith, for the glory of God. Friends, that is an act of righteousness. And if you and I are living by faith, we too can perform acts of righteousness. You know, I think about the prophets of old. I think about Elijah on Mount Carmel. Surely what Elijah did by faith on Mount Carmel was an act of righteousness. Look, if I was Elijah, I don't know if I would have entered such a contest. Because realize, if as they set up two altars and the false prophets of Baal and of King Ahab perhaps didn't bring down fire, but Elijah's altar didn't burn either, I wonder what would have happened to Elijah. Friends, would you agree with me this morning? His life was on the line. The glory of God was on the line. But by faith, he trusted in God to bring down fire. By faith, he prayed to the Lord when it was his turn to expect God to do the impossible. The Bible tells us, he said in 1 Kings chapter 18, "Hear me, O Lord. Hear me that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Friend, that was a prayer of faith. If there ever was a prayer of faith in the Bible, that was a prayer of faith. He couldn't see the fire come down. He'd had no assurance that it would, except through faith. He knew that God was the one true Lord, and he knew that this was an act of righteousness that God would be glorified through. So what did he do? He stood in God's name, by faith, for God's glory, and he prayed, and the Bible tells us that the fire came down upon the altar. It burnt up the sacrifice, it burnt up the stones, it burnt up the wood, it burnt up the water that surrounded the sacrifice, and God was glorified. Wrought righteousness. Friend, you and I can do that as Christians today. You and I can perform acts of righteousness in our day by faith. That is God's will for us. We can experience victory in the Christian life. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 says, "And they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars of heaven." Friend, God has left us here to turn many to righteousness. Many. I was thinking about that the other day. Maybe you're here this morning and you can say, "Yes, I think I've impacted one person's life." Well, if you have in one person's life, God has many more. Amen? Keep living by faith. Keep witnessing. Friends, we can perform acts of righteousness. We can witness. That's an act of righteousness. Do you realize that? Telling people about Christ in his name, by faith, for his glory, is an act of righteousness. We ought to be performing acts of righteousness each day. But the question is, are we living by faith? Do we by faith believe that by giving someone the gospel, God's word will not return void? That the word of God will have an impact in their life for God's glory, one way or another? Do you really believe that? Are you telling others about Jesus Christ despite their response? Usually what happens, from my experience, in my own life, when someone doesn't like what I say, I don't feel like telling the next person. Would you agree? When someone swears at you, time to time, when they slam the door in your face, when you go door knocking, you don't feel like going to the next door. That's why the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Amen? We live by faith, not by sight. If we're living by sight, how can we perform acts of righteousness? We can't. We'll stop. We'll crawl up in a ball. But these ones performed acts of righteousness because they believed in the living God. Amen. Friend, are you living as these faithful ones of old? Acts of righteousness. Friends, we can see mighty works done by God. We can see souls saved wonderfully and miraculously if we trust in God. If we trust in the call of God, the power of God, the word of God, if we simply trust in the Lord, acts of righteousness. Yes, we can say no to the apostasy of the world. Amen? Hard to find a church these days that doesn't teach false teaching, like losing your salvation. That seems to be the norm today. It's fundamentally accepted as if it's always been a reality. No, my Bible tells me, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," permanently, forever. Friends, if the blood of Christ can't keep us saved, then it wasn't enough to purchase our salvation. What a ridiculous, false teaching. Twisted scriptures, lies. And yet there it is. The next door neighbor believes in loss of salvation. Person across the road, person at work, they might be in the church. And look, how can you trust in a Savior that can't keep you saved? What kind of salvation is that? The Bible tells us that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. We are sealed until the day of redemption. He that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of his. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you've never been saved. Once you have the Spirit of God, at that moment of salvation, you are sealed forever. Just a simple glance at the Scriptures. Speaking in tongues. God wants everyone to be rich. If you're not rich, you're not living by faith. These are some of the teachings in churches today. False doctrine. So what is an act of righteousness? An act of righteousness is turning away from those false doctrines and staying away. An act done in His name, by faith, for His glory. God says, have nothing to do with them. God says, get out of that church. God says, stay away from them. That's done for His glory. That's not an act of pride. That's not saying that we are better. No, we thank God for what we have in the Word of God. We are not better than anyone else, but friends, we're not letting false doctrine through these few doors that we have. Amen? We're not. Why? Because we hold to the Word of God. And friend, if you are wondering what to do about people in your life that have been trying to convince you otherwise from what is taught here at Coastline Baptist Church, let me encourage you. You can perform an act of righteousness by saying, no thanks, I don't believe in that. Amen? I don't want to go to your little fellowship when a so-called miracle healer turns up in town and promises to heal my friend. No, I'm not going to turn up to that nonsense. God can heal. I don't need someone to lay their hand on them, thinking that they stand in the place of God. No, that's not true. That's ridiculous. But sometimes we get caught in our Christian lives where we are pulled one way and pulled the other. And we don't live by faith because we're not willing to make a stand. Amen? These ones wrought righteousness. They made choices for God that honored God, and they experienced victory in their lives. One day you and I will give account for the acts of righteousness done in our lives. One day we will stand before the Lord, not to be judged for our sins, but God will ask us, what works have you done in my name, by faith, for my glory, at the judgment seat of Christ? Let me encourage you. The Lord wants us to subdue kingdoms. Amen? He wants us to perform acts of righteousness. Thirdly, notice verse 33. He wants us to obtain promises. Friends, would you agree this morning that the word obtain doesn't mean just to know about them? We might know about the promises of God, but this word means to possess, to claim as your own, by take hold, and to experience those promises unfolding in your life as a believer. How about Moses? That was the example that I thought of. You might have other examples that you can remember. Moses was so afraid to go to Egypt. And so what did God do? He said to Moses, I'm going to be with you. He said to Moses, I'm going to give you the words to speak. He said to Moses, I'm going to do the miraculous. All I want you to do is go. Just go. I'll even give you Aaron to be your helper. Just go. But he was afraid. But the moment he said yes to the Lord, packed his bags, and went to Egypt by faith, what did he see? He obtained those promises. See, God had given the promises to him, but he did not obtain them until he went to Egypt, would you agree? Until he believed God and stood in front of Pharaoh and did not fear of the wrath of the king because he endured by seeing him who is invisible. That's faith. God doesn't want you, Christian, just to know about the promises of God. He wants you to claim them. Amen? He wants you to take hold of them. We've been talking about that all year. Taking hold of. Understanding that the promises of God, which are exceeding precious promises, are just as true for Gideon, just as true for David, Samuel, than they are for you and I. The promises of God. But are you claiming them? It's the claiming of the promises that God expects us to put our faith towards obtaining promises. These all obtain the promises of God. Have you ever been reading your Bible and perhaps like me, you've read a verse, a truth of the Scriptures, and you might say, look, I believe what God is saying, but I don't believe it's true for me. I know, in fact, God has spoken to me about the specific situation I'm in, but I just don't understand or believe how I can live this out in my life right now. I can't see that. Well, you see, there is the opportunity for faith. There is the time and the chance to take hold of the promises of God. You know, when we lose our jobs, men, when we're out of work, well, the Bible tells us very clearly, if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. That's a promise of God. So we trust in the word of God despite our circumstances. And if we trust in God, what do we do? Do we panic? Do we fall apart? Do we break down? Do we go for anything else that's offered to us in another country, in another town, in another place where there is no church? Is that what we do? Clutch for straws? Or do we hold on to the promises of God and obtain them by living them out and say, Lord, if you've taken my job from me, then you're in control. And Lord, you've got a better one lined up. Amen? You've got something else for me. I'm just going to trust in you. That's just one little example. Claiming a promise of God and believing in it. Living by faith. Christian, when was the last time you obtained a promise of God? We can do that daily. We can take God at his word each day when we spend time with him and live out that truth each day. Amen? Whatever he may tell you. Friends, the faith is not just understanding. The faith is in the fact that we accept, believe, and live out. Obtained promises. Obtained promises. Thank God we have a faith for all and through which all things are possible. All right, let's continue on. They obtained promises. Notice verse 34. Here we see the actions of faith. Not only did these ones experience victory, but they faced and overcame impossible odds. And these are amazing statements. Notice at the end of verse 33, what is the first action we're told of? Stop the mouths of lions. That's almost unbelievable. They stopped the mouths of lions. Now, when you read this verse, who do you think of?
Daniel.
Now, there are three different men in the Bible that we read of came up against lions. We know that Samuel defeated a lion. We know that David killed a lion and a bear. But Daniel is the only one which the Bible tells us experienced the mouths of lions being shut. Not just killed, but their mouths were shut. The Bible tells us just quickly as a review, you know the story, King Darius was pressured into making a decree that if anyone that prays in the name of the Lord and not towards their gods and idols, then they will be thrown into the lion's den. And so that he was tricked into accepting that decree, and these wicked counselors of King Darius wanted to catch Daniel praying. Daniel, hearing the decree, knowing what would happen, had to make a choice. He had to make a choice to either fold to what the world expected or to perform an act of righteousness in his name by faith for his glory and to trust in God. Daniel knew what the consequence was and he experienced the consequence. God didn't just take care of the king and remove him. God didn't just get rid of those wicked counselors. No, God allowed Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den. And I dare say at that point, you and I would have thought, well, I'm finished now. I thought God was going to deliver me. I thought he was going to shut the mouth of the king. And yet, Daniel found himself in the lion's den. And what does the Bible tell us that the king saw when he went to the lion's den and looked in the next day? The Bible tells us that Daniel said, my God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in thee, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. You see, it was God that shut the mouths of the lions. Notice he didn't take away the problem, Christian. You and I so often think we're growing in faith only when God takes that problem away. No, God expects us to trust in him in the midst of the difficulty. In the midst, in the worst part, in the darkest hour. God expects us to trust in him. You know, I wonder what Daniel did during the night that he spent there. The mouths of the lions were shut. Well, Daniel was just a man. I wonder if he laid down, young people. I wonder if Daniel slept in the lion's den with those lions around him. I wonder if one of those lions were nice and comfortable as a pillow. Well, he shut the mouths of the lions. God did that. Daniel didn't do that. What did Daniel do? He put his faith in God. It was God that did the impossible. So you and I can come up against impossible situations and expect God to do the miraculous. We can expect Him to. We can expect God to do the impossible in our lives. How? By trusting in the promises of His Word. If it's God's will for us to be a witness, each one of us, that means anyone who is a born-again Christian has already everything that it takes to lead a soul to Jesus Christ. Amen? But it's by faith. By faith believing that the Spirit of God is our strength and power to be a witness for God. You see, we can see the impossible done in our lives. We can see the impossible done in our families' lives. Notice verse number 34. They quenched the violence of fire. Well, I believe we're still in the book of Daniel, aren't we? They quenched the violence of fire. Who comes to mind when we read this verse? Well, Daniel's three friends. Now at camp, one of the teenagers and junior's favorite song was which one, young people? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that was one of the songs in our camp booklet. And the song goes like this, that Nebuchadnezzar made a decree based, and the song is based upon the word of God. And the song goes, "Bow before my golden image, or you'll burn today. When you hear the sound of the music, you must all obey." That was what Nebuchadnezzar decreed. He said, "All those who will not bow to my golden idol when the music plays will be thrown into the fiery furnace." And what did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do? Friends, these are situations we find ourselves in every day. You might say, "How is that? I'm never threatened to be thrown into a furnace of fire." Yes, but you're pressured to do what the world wants to, are you not? You're pressured to live like the world in your school, young people, when all of your friends are taking drugs and going partying and drinking alcohol and inviting you to come and expecting you to decide what to do. You either say yes to them and bow and fold, or you say yes to God and trust Him with the results and the outcome. Maybe the hatred will come your way, but maybe that opportunity of saying no will lead to a witness that you cannot imagine will follow. And what happened as a result when the king this time, Nebuchadnezzar, looked into the fiery furnace? What did he see? Friends, did God put out that fire? Yes or no? Once again, God did not deliver them from the problem. God oftentimes will not deliver you from the problem, but will within that problem give you grace and victory to stand for the glory of God. The fire did not hurt these young men. And as he looked in, whom did he see? One, a fourth, like unto the Son of God. As we know, the Lord Jesus Christ walked with them in the flames. Friends, God is with you. You may not be able to see Him, but the Bible says, "Lo, I'm with you always." Amen? "I will never leave you nor forsake you." But that will only be true in our lives practically. We'll only be able to experience victory over impossible odds, may I say, if we believe in the Word of God. If we believe that to be true. That when you and I take a stand in our workplace and witness for the Lord in love, amen? When we say no to the wicked Christmas party and the invitation to go to lewd places in this town, and our workmates start mocking us, and yet we take a stand for God, we trust in God to do the impossible in their lives. And God will open up doors that would be otherwise impossible if we buckle to the pressure around us. You see, these quench the violence or the power of fire. How did they do that? How did they stop the fire from burning them? God did it. But they put their trust in God by faith. It was by faith. Friends, you and I can have faith. We can live by faith. Notice they escaped the edge of the sword. As we wrap up this morning, we think about David. We think about how King Saul wanted to kill him. So there was Daniel standing there in the lion's den. There was Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego just standing there in the fiery furnace. They weren't trying to plan an escape route. Daniel wasn't trying to find a rope or something or rock to clamber up on. No, not at all. He wasn't delivered by strength. He was delivered by faith. And there's David hiding in a cave, waiting out God to deal with Saul. He said, I'm not going to hurt the Lord's anointed. I'm not going to kill King Saul. That's what you and I would have felt like doing. Well, if he attacks me, I've got to attack him. If I don't defeat him, then I won't be able to, then I'm going to lose. King David had the ability, the moment, the time to do that, the opportunity. But what did he do? He escaped. Amen. The edge of the sword. David escaped. Saul's sword. How? By faith. He trusted in the word of God. He trusted in the promises of God. Though everything around him was falling apart, he knew that this was not God's plan for his life. He had anointed him king of Israel, and he knew that God would perform the impossible against all odds, and he did. Friends, that is faith. That is faith. Let me ask you this morning, what impossible situation are you facing? What difficulty are you facing? You might say, Pastor, these men were strong men. These men could trust in God because they're not like I am. Well, let me encourage you with the last statement in verse number 34. Notice what the Bible says. Out of weakness were made, say it together, strong. Out of weakness they were made what? Strong. Friends, that is true. You and I are weak. We are weak. The sooner we admit that, the better. That's why the just shall live by faith. We are weak. I'm weak. I don't have the strength to live for God each day. I don't have the strength to continue to cast down those imaginations each day. It can be wearisome. It can be difficult when those attacks come day after day. Those thoughts, those depressive thoughts, ladies. Those bitter thoughts. Those discouraging thoughts, those attacks from those around us spiritually, they can be so discouraging, wearisome, but we can be strong. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 34. Out of weakness were, what's the next word?
Made
strong. See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't strong. They were thrown into the fire, but out of weakness they were made strong. How? Through faith. Amen. That's why the Apostle Paul says, what shall I more say? Don't we get it? We can have strength, supernatural strength that doesn't come from within. No matter what Tony Robbins says, amen, your strength does not come from within. It's not there. Our strength is in the Lord. Our strength is in the promises of God. Our strength is in the Word of God. Our strength is through the Spirit of God. It's not in ourselves. We are weak. How can I confront that brother in love to encourage him to turn back to the Lord by faith? How can I be a witness each day, though it continues to become harder and harder? By faith. Amen? By faith we believe that the Word of God is not diminished. By faith we in our weakness can make strong. We can do all things through Christ. But that's a promise. That if you and I don't believe is true for us, then we will never obtain the promises of God. We will never perform acts of righteousness. We will never see the subduing of kingdoms in our life. We will never see the impossible done if you and I refuse to live by faith. Are you weak this morning? Then through God, you can be made strong. Amen? Through God. Paul said of the Lord, young men, God hath chosen to use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Young men, you might say, look, I don't have the best education. In fact, you know, I'm not the best public speaker. I don't know if God can use me to be a pastor, a missionary, a preacher, a witness. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If you believe you are weak, put your faith in Him. He can make you who He wants you to be. He said to those rough fishermen by the shore of the Sea of Galilee, He said, come ye after me. That's the only requirement. Come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men. Out of weakness they were made strong. And that's why in 2016 the gospel is in Cairns, Australia, because a bunch of men, though they knew they were weak, were made strong by Jesus Christ. Friend, we can be strong in the Lord. You can be strong by faith, by trusting in God. Well, we don't need much more convincing, do we? It's about time to live out the Word of God. Friend, we need to pray believing. We need to witness expecting. Amen. We need to read the Word of God obeying. We can all live by faith. We can have faith over impossible situations. What happened to Adoniram Judson as we close? Well, there came a day where he was freed from prison. And the Lord continued his work, and souls were saved. And souls continued to be saved. But where are the young people that are willing to stand as Adoniram Judson did and say to the Lord, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, make me strong. Use me as a missionary. Lord, take me to Burma, if you will, to preach the gospel, to continue your work in this world. Lord, use me in my family. Lord, use me in this city. Where is the child of God who's willing to live by faith? I trust you are. We've seen the faith of many others, just as a glimpse this morning. But friends, this faith includes you. In a moment, we'll have an invitation. Let me encourage you to not just think about what God has said, but to act on it. There's a stage behind me that we use as an altar. Let me encourage you, if God wants you to make a decision, why don't you come out, parents, and pray for that child, for that need. Let me encourage you, adults, to make a decision for God this morning, to obtain those promises perhaps you've heard today. Friend, if you need to be saved, if a life of faith just isn't working, it could very well be perhaps because you've never been justified. You've never accepted Christ as Saviour. Would you respond to the invitation this morning? I trust there's something for all.